It's a debate that happens every year at the time of the release of the matric results. What is the true percentage of people who pass? Is it what the Department of Basic Education says it is, which is the number of people who passed as a percentage of those people who sat for the matric exam, or as the DA and other groups argue every year, it should rather be taken as a percentage, the number of people who pass should be taken as a percentage of the number of people who entered grade 10, the three-year matric sweep. Whichever way you look at it, it is a reality that we have a huge dropout rate in South Africa. The number of people who go from grade 1 to grade 12, well, that's only about 60% of the people who enter grade 1 in a particular year. What can be done to change that? It's a particular focus of the Zero Dropout campaign. Merle Mansfield is the program director. Merle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon to your listeners.
On the Daily Maverick today, I read that you plan to reduce that dropout figure by half. How does one do that?
So we've set out our vision to halve the dropout rate by 2030 by doing three things, and this is what we've been advocating for. The first is really that we get a KPI, a national KPI for dropout in our country, so that it's the one thing that we're also measuring, except just the matric results, as you've so eloquently described earlier. And then second to that is that we start institutionalizing a early warning system that tracks learners over time. Our data currently doesn't allow us to do that. And so what that means is that we're not able to track what the learner's engagement is within school, and therefore we can't prevent them from leaving school if, for example, their disengagement is heightened. And so an early warning system tracks three indicators, which is the ABCs, it's academic achievement, behavior, and chronic absenteeism. And what we've done is created a risk profile report based on the UNESCO recommendations, and it allows us to track when a learner's disengagement is heightened. And then the third part, which is really, really important, is that we can use that early warning system to alert us to what the risk level is, and we need to then attach that to a psychosocial response. Our current referral system within the country really, and within our school system, really isn't adequate enough to get the support to kids on the ground in, you know, the kind of time it needs to get there. And so using this risk-adjusted method will allow us to better use our resources and will allow us to do a lot of preventative work before we have to do the crisis response, which is what we're always doing in the system currently.
It all sounds so simple, Merle, but I would imagine that in practice it's not that simple. I mean, do we have the capacity to recognize these early warning signs and then institute the response that you suggest is necessary?
So I think one of the big things we've learned is that dropout is, you know, a multifaceted issue and often can seem like it's this overwhelming problem that we can't solve. But from the work we've been doing in the past 4 years, we're in 27 schools nationally currently with some implementing partners, we've been testing this approach. We've been testing how this works with learners on the ground, and we've seen such great improvement in things like chronic absenteeism and seen how learners are re-engaged into the school system. And once we start having this conversation really intentionally, how schools and school communities and cultures are changing. We've also seen just last year with the impact of COVID-19 and, you know, the increase and heightened awareness of dropout, how quickly people have been interested in understanding what we can do differently. And I think if we can use that momentum to move this forward, it's definitely something that's possible. We need resources, so we do need human resources within schools to be able to do this, and we do need intentional commitment to the finances and the technology required for schools to be able to track this data intentionally. Some of the schools in particular contexts don't even have computers or, you know, aren't able to connect to network, for example. And so it's important for us to consider those limitations, but we also know that there's been innovative ways to work around those, and we've seen some communities really banding around schools to make that possible. But we do need this directive to come from national, and we need this to be urgent.
So I know that one of the things they do in Rwanda is that if a child is absent from school for more than 2 days and the parents or the parent or the caregiver, whoever is registered on the school system as being in charge of the child or children, if they're not there 2 days, more than 2 days in a row, an official from the district education department for that region knocks on the door of the registered address and says, notice that, you know, whoever hasn't been at school for 2 days, why not?
Exactly.
I look at our setup and I go, well, it would be lovely in some respects to introduce aspects of the Rwandan approach to South Africa, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem possible in reality. It seems desirable in theory, but impossible in reality.
So we've actually seen a very similar approach in our school in Paarl and Stellenbosch. One of the organizations there, they called Kula Development Group, have actually trained up women from the community who work with them and are called dropout catchers.
Yeah,
they have a negotiation with each of the schools that teachers identify when a learner has missed 3 days unexcused absence. Those names get sent to the office every morning, and the dropout catchers go and collect the names, and they get the addresses, and they go and knock on the doors. The time frame that it takes to do that is a day, instead of weeks or months when the referral gets into the district and, you know, a response needs to be coordinated and then sent back. And by that time, the child is missing because they've moved or, you know, the child's returned to school and we haven't really found out what caused the initial break. And so using community members like that, for example, who are offering their support, going out and finding out what's happening, helps us to really get to the bottom of the issue in a really short time. And we've seen how that's helped us to reintegrate learners back into the school space. Often there is things and issues in the home or in the community that families or parents are navigating, and so schooling falls second to that. And with the reminder that somebody's watching, and also with the support from somebody at the school to say, well, this is still very important and it needs to happen, we see how that really changes the trajectory for a child.
Thank you, Merle. I mean, really, it's wonderful that there are people like you, and I love the idea of the dropout catchers and the reality of the dropout catchers in those areas. And let's hope that somebody important is listening and acts on the very sensible suggestions that the Zero Dropout Campaign is putting on the table. Merle Mansfield is the program director at the Zero Dropout Campaign.